Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food here on July 22nd, 2014. All right, let's move to the second part of the program. I'm really looking forward to this. We have one very brave person here in the studio. No, we have two brave people here in the studio. My next guest is Jeff Steer. He's a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research in Washington, D.C., and heads its Risk Analysis Division. He's a frequent guest on CNBC and has addressed health policy on CNN, Fox News Channel, MSNBC, as well as network newscasts. A whole lot more. He's got a law degree from Benjamin N. Cardozo School of Law, and he's the chairman of the board of the Jewish International Connection New York. We're going to be talking about a recent happening at the USDA. Welcome to It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me, Jeff.
Great to be with you, Karen.
Yeah, so now, your organization, the National Center for Public Policy Research, is a conservative think tank, and you're here at the Progressive Radio Network.
One of the good things about it is when I do the conservative talk radio shows, I have to come in wearing a suit, so it's nice to be dressed more comfortably.
That's right, especially on a hot day like today. Okay, so, well, we appreciate you dressing appropriately.
Thank you.
So what's on your mind, Jeff?
I've been watching carefully what the U.S. Department of Agriculture has been doing as part of the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which, as you know, is the federal advice on nutrition, on how we ought to eat. And I think that advice ought to be Congress, who says that the USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services have to develop these recommendations and revise them every 5 years like they're doing for 2015, have to do so providing good science nutrition information. It has to be based on health. And what the USDA, I believe, has been doing has been shifting that debate, shifting the recommendations or the process about those recommendations to things other than nutrition, which is what's statutorily required. And that those types of things include things like sustainability, things like fair trade coffee, things like eating less meat, or if you are going to eat meat, it should be based, it should be free range grass eating meat. So I think the issue here is, what is the basis for the USDA's recommendation? Is it nutrition, or is it some other agenda? I think you and I might agree that it should be based on nutrition. I mean, that's what Congress said. If you want to argue about whether meat is sustainable or not, or whether we ought to be drinking fair trade coffee, we can have that conversation. But the debate here and the conversation here is about whether advancing those agendas, as I believe the USDA has been doing, is consistent with the law.
Well, the USDA has an interesting situation. It almost has a conflict of interest with itself, where it's responsible for nutrition, but it's also responsible for promoting agriculture. And sometimes those are not in sync with each other, especially when it comes to the dairy industry, when we learn that saturated fats aren't healthy, and then they start giving benefits to the dairy industry to promote their cheese, and at the same time they tell us to eat less cheese. So there have been some conflicts of interest. And also, for a long time, the people that have been on the Dietary Guidelines Committee have come from the meat industry, sugar industry, the dairy industry. And so those people are bringing their agenda to the table and not necessarily the best in science.
So, Karen, you gave me an example of how the USDA may not be using the best science to advance nutrition. I'll give you an example from my perspective, which I think many of your listeners may disagree with, but I think it may help you understand kind of where I'm coming from on this particular issue. And one of the conflicts of interest that I believe the USDA has is because part of its mission is to promote agriculture. The USDA spends a lot of tax dollar money encouraging people to eat organic food. And kind of
not enough, in my opinion.
fair enough. But to push to move people towards eating more organic food. I believe that the public health goal, based on the science as we know it today, is to encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables. And all of the science we have so far suggests that people who eat more fruits and vegetables tend to live longer lives. The data that I'm basing that on is based on 30, 40, 50
sure.
years. And that's when people were shopping in their supermarkets, not at Whole Food markets. This is based on traditional agriculture.
Sure, but prior to World War II, we didn't need organic food because we didn't use pesticides and herbicides.
Well, I think you'll find that the foods that we've been eating for the last 50 years, the people who eat more fruits and vegetables live longer and healthier lives. So I think if we could agree, you mentioned earlier common ground, people eat more fruits and vegetables, and we could have the discussions about the latest organic industry-funded study that said organic food is healthier. We could have those conversations, but I think we could agree that people who eat more fruits and vegetables, generally speaking, not just organic, tend to live longer and healthier lives. That is kind of a common ground in nutrition advice. Once we've got that, from a I know progressives don't always like to think like economists, and that leads to poor communications. But from an economic perspective, the public health goal is to get people to eat more fruits and vegetables. People will eat more fruits and vegetables if those products come at a lower, not a higher price. Organic food across the board, maybe you could cite an exception, tends to be higher priced. So if that's the case, if conventionally grown produce is less expensive and people eat more of foods that are less expensive, we talk about how chips are cheap and vegetables are expensive, my goal from a public health perspective, as someone who thinks like an economist and has an understanding of agriculture, is across the board, we should be encouraging people to eat more fruits and vegetables. The most effective way to do that is to encourage them to eat the fruits and vegetables that are less expensive. And the USDA, by advancing an organic agenda, is actually working at cross purposes with the public health goal of getting people to eat more fruits and vegetables.
So Angela Tagto was appointed recently to work on a committee on with the USDA, and you were against her appointment. I think she would agree that we want our country to eat more fruits and vegetables. But a couple things.
Well, I'll disagree with you there, actually. What she would want, and she wasn't appointed to a USDA committee, she was actually appointed to be the executive director of the division at the USDA, whose job it is to implement the dietary guidelines. And there's been this kind of debate over where are the dietary guidelines going. There's an advisory committee that just had its fourth set of meetings last week, and there's been a lot of talk about sustainability and some of those issues about how we ought to eat to affect climate change as part of that. I and others have criticized the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which is not the policymaking group, but they issue recommendations. I've criticized them for focusing on sustainability rather than nutrition. The USDA responded to that criticism and says that criticism is premature because we haven't written policy yet. But now the USDA is essentially doubling down by appointing Angela Tagto to the position at the USDA executive director of the department, whose job it is to implement those new dietary guidelines. And her background is quite clear. She is this is her own definition, an environmental nutritionist.
Okay, the last time I looked at where our food came from, it came from plants that grow in the soil, take in the carbon dioxide that is put out into the atmosphere. They give off oxygen, and those plants are either fed directly to people as food or they're fed to animals, and then people eat the animals. That's plants growing in our environment. And our current method of industrial plant agriculture is devastating on our environment. We've got soil degradation. We're losing topsoil. Industrial agriculture would not take place if we didn't have petrochemical-based fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. This is not an infinite resource. We know what's related to petrochemicals. It's a limited resource. It's going to become more expensive, and it's devastating to the environment because of the greenhouse gases that they ultimately put out into the atmosphere. So using agriculture that's based on petrochemicals is not sustainable. Now, what we need to be doing is nourishing our soil, and the only way to really do that is with a nature-based organic production of plants that is not based on petrochemicals. It's based on planting plants that help each other, don't fight against each other, not this extensive monocropping and growing primarily foods to feed animals, to feed people, which is really, really inefficient. So if we would focus And I don't think the USDA is really putting a lot of money into promoting organic agriculture. They're promoting more meat and dairy and sugar and all the things that aren't really healthy for us today. I would love to see them promoting more organic agriculture. But it's quite simple that if we would focus more on plant foods and if we get into economics of it, right now our industrial agriculture really supports a very small amount of people growing what they consider efficient, and I'm using air quotes when I say efficient, because they're growing a lot of the same foods, a lot of it to feed animals, to feed people, which isn't efficient. And they're doing it with a lot of high-tech equipment, all of that's wonderful. But it's not sustainable, and we won't be able to grow food, nutritious or otherwise, if we continue in this method.
So I've got what may be a surprise to you.
Oh, okay, surprise.
I'm actually an environmentalist, and I love hiking.
Are you a vegan? Are you a vegan?
I love eating vegetables.
No, but are you a vegan?
I've got a Vitamix.
Are you a vegan? Say yes or no. The answer is yes or no. You're a liar.
I love red meat, but
okay, so you're not a vegan.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, so I think anybody that says they're an environmentalist, if they're not a vegan, they're not really an environmentalist. But you continue.
Right. So we have kind of different views. There's this kind of at the crux of your argument.
Yes.
Is this two ways of looking at the world, and it goes back for many years, and that is we're running out of resources and we ought to kind of just hunker down. There are probably too many people that are eating too much food, or there's kind of this more, I think, an optimistic view of abundance. One of my mentors was a man named Dr. Norman Borlaug. Dr. Borlaug won the Nobel Peace Prize for developing the Green Revolution. And I would imagine that people like Dr. Borlaug, in your view, are people who destroyed the earth, who caused more people to eat more food, which is bad because it's bad for the earth. My view is that we live in a world with more and more people. The world is not getting any bigger. The one resource that is not growing is the size of the earth. Question is, how do we use that earth most efficiently to provide for people? And before Dr. Borlaug passed away, he encouraged me, I'll always remember this, is to continue fighting for the safe and efficient use of technology that will improve the human condition. And that's what I do every day. And we may have different approaches to how to feed people. I could understand why, and I heard your arguments, it might sound like a good idea to just have everybody eating natural foods that grow out in nature and we'll just pick them without disturbing the earth. And that sounds good. But in the world we live in today, where the population is only going to grow, unless you're going to kind of establish some population controls, I think we ought to make the best use of the resources we have to grow what I believe sustainable food to give people the nutrition that they need. And I got to say, in ways that they enjoy, which can appropriately, a lot of cultures use meat in their diets. And I think that's appropriate. I think, you know, I'm a fan of Temple Grandin. I think we ought to use, we ought to farm efficiently, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to farm efficiently. I think we ought to farm humanely. But I don't think it is necessary to cut out food.
Well, there's a couple of things when you're talking about farming efficiently. And one is, who's benefiting from that efficiency? And we see more and more small family farmers going out of business because they can't compete with the giant agribusiness. And there are a lot of places that call themselves family farms, and they're not family farms. They're big businesses. And I believe we need to get away from the big businesses. The efficiency is not really efficient. It's efficient for a small few to make a lot of money. And, you know, sometimes we have to put efficiency aside. If we can improve the economy by putting more people to work and more people actually farming, looking at their food, looking at their produce, knowing when there are bugs around that they can actually take care of without pouring tons of toxic herbicides and pesticides into the ground. It's not.
I gotta disagree.
People are
with you.
Doing it and doing it well and yielding well. And if we weren't eating so much meat, we'd have a lot of land left over to be maybe less efficient. But if we could also put our technology towards making organic plant production more efficient.
Karen, it's called integrated pest management.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not in favor of recklessly pouring chemicals onto the earth to kill everything.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in integrated pest management, which includes the safe use of pesticides.
Well, I don't know
when
if there
necessary.
Is a safe use, but
I'm just trying
using
to
a lot less common ground.
I'm just trying to draw attention to some of the rhetoric that's used to talk about pouring killer chemicals on food, when in fact what I think responsible farmers who are trying to get the most out of their land efficiently to supply healthy foods to their customers, and so that those farms, whether they're family farms or part of some big business, I think all of those farms ought to be sustainably efficient by using technology appropriately.
I love technology, but I don't like damaging the planet, and I really think that's the direction we're going in, and it's really dangerous because it's polluting our air, polluting our water, and causing climate change, and we need some dramatic action. And I'm actually glad that they're considering the environment when they're considering nutrition, because the two go hand in hand.
Is it possible in your almost hypothetical worldview to actually have food that's unhealthy, that's good for the environment, or conversely, to have healthy food that's bad for the environment?
Well, I think that organic plant production is really an ideal situation because it puts out negligible greenhouse gases. Even conventional plant production causes a certain amount of greenhouse gases because of the petrochemicals that it uses. And I believe that we can have a balance in our environment. And, of course, it's to be seen. But if we're working towards organic plants, I think we could be really gentle on the environment.
We're going to have to cut down a lot of trees to do that.
Okay, we don't have much. I mean, we've really gone over time, and we really need to stop. But I don't agree with that at all. We have plowed so many trees today in order to allow for grazing, allow for growing food to feed animals, to feed people. We would need to grow a lot less food if we were growing it to just feed people. That's where the animals, other than the fact that I believe in thou shalt not kill, and we shouldn't be killing animals, and certainly not intensifying by putting them in these factory farms. But we would have a lot more land for wildlife preservation, for growing organic food, if we weren't growing food to feed animals, to feed people. It's very simple. So, Jeff, we need to continue this conversation because I've got another guest coming on.
That was fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming and thanks for being so brave.
My pleasure. Likewise.
Okay. Ciao. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Friedrich Mühlen, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Germany with factory farm investigations.